It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one champion.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. The AI Chewy can just bring up championship. We don't even need championship.
They've had one championship.
What, it's going to be put like a hologram over
and
there?
Yeah.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Saturn Lounge, your partner for marketing strategy, creative content, and winning campaigns. From websites to video and everything marketing, visit SaturnLounge.com to tell the world your story.
Always enjoy talking with Craig Karmazin each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. However, we're going to talk to him in just a moment. He's walking through security as we speak, Chew. So, turns out, you got to get through security before you can start talking on your phone.
Was he at the game? Do we know?
Yes. He was in Los Angeles for the game yesterday afternoon in Los Angeles.
Actually,
right?
Now I'm having... Maybe he's going tonight to the game?
Oh, so he's leaving to go to L.A. right now?
That could be the case.
Okay.
We'll have to confer with him.
All right. Look, I'm hoping that he's going out to L.A. right now. Maybe he's the good luck charm that the Brewers need. We need every little bit of luck, whatever, just to avoid being swept.
You're still hanging on. Oh, that's your goal?
No. Look.
You just don't want to get swept.
Well, you win tonight. See what happens tomorrow. Like, that's life of being a fan, man. Like, you hang on to the bitter end. I'm not somebody who leaves games early. Like, that's just who I am. I'm not going to leave the game early. I'm not going to give up on the series early. Yeah, their backs are against the wall. It's not looking really good, Chew, when you're putting up historically bad numbers in terms of your offense, in terms of hits and runs. Yeah, it's not looking great.
Yeah,
but tonight's a new game.
I can't figure you out as a sports fan, because if this was somehow equated to the Packers, you'd be ripping them so hard. But the fact that it's the Brewers, you're not.
No,
why
I mean,
is
again, because I think it's just different between baseball and football. Like, again, I feel like I have been very truthful about the Green Bay Packers. People have looked at me as the Rashawn Gary hater. I feel like I've been backed up on my Rashawn Gary takes. We were both on the same page of, yeah,
yes,
the wins might be better, but you don't want to be the 7th seed every year after last year's Packers team. Like, the Brewers are there. They're in the championship series. Like, I'm not going to give up on them. As Craig Karmazin joins us here now on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. I am boarding a flight to Los Angeles right now. I will be there in the stadium tonight. And it's right. You don't give up on them, and you don't be critical of them. Chewy, this is a team that's
in the National League Championship
Series. Why?
Craig,
you're a fan of them, and they're in the National League Championship Series. We know they haven't hit. We know they have 9 hits in the game. What do we have to do? Like, say that Christian Yelich has been bad? Like, he knows he's bad. Everyone knows he's bad. Like, it's time to be a fan right now.
No, I'm fine because I had the safety net up because all the scars that we've had to endure throughout the years in Wisconsin.
There's no
so
scars.
Yes, they are scars. Of course they're scars.
No, but that's every sports fan. That's, like, what being a sports fan is. Like, it's, like, this whole – and I see it on social media all the time, the narrative of, like, oh, of course this is what was going to happen to a Wisconsin team. This is beat the Cubs. This is a legendary, unbelievable year. I'm in Chicago right now, and this team beat the Cubs. They eliminated the Cubs. They beat Craig Counsell in a walk-off, not a walk-off, but a game 5, winner-take-all game. They set the all-time record for wins in the history of the franchise. This isn't like, oh, so, oh, poor me. Like, they're running.
No. You're guarded because there's no cap in baseball. If this was the Packers, you'd be ripping them. We ripped them after the loss to the Tom Brady Tampa Bay Bucks because they were the number one seed. They had the home field advantage, and they blew it. So we were uber critical. And I understand baseball isn't fair,
and that is true.
Let me ask you this, Craig. Whatever happens, I mean, the chances of them coming back is slim to none. How will you look at this season as a fan? Disappointed? Good season? Great season?
The best season since I've lived in Wisconsin, which is 1997, and provided me as many great moments as any baseball team I've rooted for in the last 2 decades. It has been an unbelievable ride, and it's not over. This team has won 4 games in a row against the Dodgers before. Like, as a fan, it's not over.
But Chewy wants to declare it over. What do you think?
He's a Red Sox fan. He's
yeah, and I jump off. Yeah. Hey, I'm East Coast. I am fair weather. You know that, right?
But in 2000, my point is, in 2004, the Red Sox were dead. They were dead in the 8th inning against the Yankees and the 9th inning in Game 4, and they end up winning it. That's the beauty of sports. We have no idea what's going to happen. So enjoy the ride. We don't need to do postmortems on a season when there's still games to be played.
How many teams have ever come back down 3-0?
That's the one team that did it.
One out of how many?
Have the answer. I don't know how one out of
190. Okay.
So, Craig, do you think we see a lineup shakeup tonight? Do you think they stick with that? I mean, I guess a lot of it kind of depends upon Jackson Chourio and if he's actually going to be healthy enough to go. He said that, you know, it just a hamstring cramp, and he thinks he's going to be able to play game 4. I have to wait and see. But do you think that Murph mixes up the lineup, shakes things up to try to get something out of the bats?
I definitely think there will be, but I have not been able to predict anything. I never would have predicted Trevor McGill, you know, starting the game, which worked out well. I would never have thought, if you had asked me who was starting yesterday, you would have needed to give me 6 names before I would have gotten to Ashby. So I have no idea. Like, you know, nothing has been predictable for me when you think about this series. And then all of a sudden, Abner Uribe is like the middleman on this team. Like, I don't know how this team has become so different than the regular season version. So I can't predict it, but I do think there will be lineup shakeups. I wonder where Christian Yelich bats tonight in the order.
Craig, do you think they should have pulled Miz after first and second one out?
I thought about it at the time. So, like, yeah, maybe you could have, but I don't think it was, like, a given. Like, he was pitching so well, and then that first pitch hit. Like, you know, walking Freeman, like, was a tough at-bat. So, sure, but that I look at it. I'm not second-guessing that run at all. Like, when I look back at that game, I look at the dumb throw to first that gets away, that costs you a run. Like, that kills you. And then I still don't understand why Ashby pitches every day. Like, so if I'm second guessing, I'm not second guessing riding with Miz the way he has been in this postseason. I'm not questioning that at all. Like, right. Like, obviously maybe it could have worked out differently, but that is far down the list of things as a fan that I'm questioning.
I mean, even though I think a lot of people are sad and disappointed right now, I think Jacob Mizorowski, and it's even different the way he was doing it earlier in the season. He's not relying on the fastball as much. He's throwing secondary pitches for strikes, and that makes the fastball play even more. It just makes me excited that he is somehow developing right in front of our eyes in the highest leverage moments. Like, that's really cool to see.
I feel like we haven't had the full rookie of the year conversation on this show. Like, you know, the movie with the kid where he ends up on the Cubs.
Yeah. Rosenbagger?
I love that
movie.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so Chewy, that's like what happened somehow in Game 5 against the Cubs. Like, Miz comes in, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, what happened? Did he lose his fastball? Did he have to get, you know, some batters out? Does he have to learn the Ephus pitch? Like you're right, Gabe. Like, he somehow, like, has learned to use his fastball as, like, his changeup almost. Like, he's accurate, and he's not walking all these guys. Like, I think none of us would have been surprised if he wasn't even on the postseason roster, and he's been the most valuable pitcher of the entire postseason for this team. Like, it's an unbelievably remarkable development that I think, you know, has an impact on years to come for the Brewers.
Craig, do you like the NFL this year? Oh, there's no dominant teams.
Dude, I don't think there's not any dominant teams. I can't figure out if there's anyone who's good in the NFL. And I'm not saying that joking. Like, every time I'm like, okay, this team's good. Like, I finally decide the Lions are good, and they were just bad against the Packers, but the Lions are good. And then they lose. And, like, I can't figure out a team. The Colts right now are the only team that I think is good. Like, that's how confused I am about the NFL.
I mean, how many teams are there that can win the Super Bowl? 12?
Everyone.
Well, like the Raiders. Not everyone. 12? Not everyone. 12? Right? I think we can. I think we can eliminate teams like the Saints. The Saints aren't going to win the Super Bowl.
No.
The Raiders, the Titans. The Titans have already fired a coach. I think we can identify who's bad. But yes, I think it's tougher to identify who's good.
Maybe it was just the coach. Maybe it was Sam Ward as the right guy. Like, look at Joe Flacco last night. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Me?
Like, I know.
Like, maybe the Steelers are good. Well, I guess maybe not. Right? Maybe their defense is getting shredded by a quarterback who's been in a system for 10 days. Which, by the way, he looked pretty good in the second half against the Packers too. So maybe the Packers defense. Like, that's what I'm saying. I have no idea if anybody.
I have no idea.
In the NFL is good.
Well, let me ask you. I'll throw a few teams out there. Can Seattle win the Super Bowl?
Oh man, I would still say no, but like,
how about Denver? Craig, can Denver?
Yes. Even
can Atlanta?
The Jets.
Can Atlanta?
I love Penix. I don't think so, but maybe like those are the two. You're all of like.
I know. It's just like.
It's crazy.
I love it. I think it's great.
I can't figure it out. Wait, like who in your power rankings is number one right now?
Tampa Bay.
Oh my God. And I guess is the point that like they've also shown they could do it without Evans, without Ibuka, without, you know,
Godwin.
Even like and they've done it without Bucky Irving, right? Mm-hmm. Like I mean they've you know, I mean, maybe you're right. I mean, that's crazy. That this year, I don't remember a year ever. Like, there's years that have been crazy, but this early in the season, for there to be nobody that, like, stands out, and as I said, I still think it's the Colts right now, but I can't argue with what you're saying. And by the way, I can see the Rams winning it. I can still see the Eagles being good. I mean, there's so many teams. Like, the Cowboys, all of a sudden, like, they're terrible and lost to the Panthers. But, like, could they actually end up being good? Like, I'm not writing off anyone right now.
Craig, were you listening to the previous segment?
No, I was going through.
All right, so I have a 70-year-old buddy back home. He's 74, got in an accident, didn't realize that in Massachusetts, if you're over the age of 70 and you get in an accident, your license is revoked until you retake the driver's test at the DMV. Are you in favor of that or against it?
Oh, I love that rule. I mean, I'm sure it's ageist and not, like, I don't know if the Constitution, but I love that rule. Like, I've always thought,
do you
like,
really?
There should be, yeah, like, I mean, like, so if you're 100, you could just drive. Like, I think there should be driver's tests, like, every 15 or 20 years, or maybe even every, like, 10 years. Like, I think it's, yeah, like, how do we know that people don't have dementia who are driving on the
well,
street?
Well, hold on.
Like,
hold on.
Dangerous.
Then should there be a rule for anyone under the age of 25 that gets in an accident, they have to retake the test?
I'd be fine with, like, when you get accidents, anyone at any age, if you're doing things, like having to do something to prove you can be back on the road. So, yeah, I think, like, people, like, cars are these massive, dangerous things, and, like, if people are misusing them, I think we should make sure before they use them again that they're safe operators. So, yeah, I'm in favor of it. I'm in for all of it.
I kind of like where Craig's going, where you take it every so often. You know, so you pass at 16, maybe you take it again at 25, 35, 45, 50. I wouldn't mind that. I kind of like that. Just kind of nice little refresher for everybody.
Well, after driving with Craig, I would agree with that.
Wait, Craig, are you a bad driver?
Oh, he's horrible. No. He is so distracted. He is off. You know the most annoying thing about Craig? This is the most annoying thing. Every time he takes a phone call in his car, he puts it on speaker. And it's deeply uncomfortable for the person driving with him.
I think that is the law. And you're supposed to be speaking hands-free. And you're not supposed to have, like, the handset up. It is the safest way to drive. I thought you were going to say is when I'm on the phone, I go slower or faster based on the tone of the conversation, which I agree is bad driving. I may not be the best driver. But I would also say if we go 10 years from now, we're all going to be, not all,
what is,
most
Craig,
of us are going to be in self-driving cars anyway.
Craig, what did you get pulled over in Madison when I was with you and Harper was in the back seat?
Oh, yeah. I think I just made an illegal turn. Like, I just think I turned in the middle. Like,
there you have it.
Yeah,
Gabe.
I had the They knew it was Chewy, so I didn't get a ticket, right? Because they saw you.
You're welcome.
Wait, you got Craig out of a ticket? How is this the first time I'm hearing this story? That you got Craig out of a ticket?
Yeah, I was just done playing. It was probably, what, 3 years, Craig?
Yeah. And, I mean, no, you were just done playing. Harper was born. Harper was born after you were in the Packers Hall of Fame. So
really?
Somehow you have Harper in the car and you just finished playing.
Have to take the driver's test for that.
Chewy thinks he got done playing 5 years ago. He's been doing the show for five years. But
wait, can you do a bit? Can we do this as a bit? Like, are you allowed to take the driver's test even if you have a license? I would love to have Maddie Hayes, our social person, go with Chewy and have him take the driver's test and see if Chewy could today pass the driver's test.
Oh, I'd have no chance.
Parallel parking, Chewy? You got game?
I just don't believe in blinkers. I don't believe in stop signs. They're just optional. They're stop, you know? If there's no one around, what the hell are you stopping for?
Yeah, right? Like you're saying they're all just like caution signs. So you should look around as if they're a flashing yellow light. Like you view everything as a flashing yellow light.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe you do need to retake the test. Maybe we need to do this, not as just a bit, but just for Chewy's own safety.
I only got like 13 years before that rule kicks into effect for me.
You're listening to WCTE.
That was actually a good pop.
On that note, we'll let you leave on the high note. Enjoy Los Angeles. I hope you're rooting on a Brewers victory tonight.
Go Brewers.
Craig Carverson joins us every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But if you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. You have heard me talk about Mentality and what they've done for me. So if you think you have low testosterone, here are some of the signs. Low energy and motivation. You're tired all the time. Weight gain or muscle loss, especially belly fat. You're feeling anxious, moody, or irritable. Those are all signs of low testosterone. And Mentality Health can help. They focus on free testosterone levels, which many doctors overlook, ensuring your treatment is tailored to your body. They've got board-certified physicians. They provide a full physical consultation and blood panel analysis all during your first visit. So what are you waiting for? Find out if you have low testosterone and if Mentality can help and get you that customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. Your energy comes roaring back, the belly fat burns off, your muscle strengthens, and you start to feel like yourself again. Confident, driven, ready to tackle life. What are you waiting for? Do what I did. Go to Mentality Health, mentalityhealth.com/radio to book that appointment today, and Mentality can help you. mentalityhealth.com/radio.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by you two, but just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
X-Golf Inside American Family Field is a great place for really any occasion. If you're going to be hosting, I don't know, this winter, a bachelor party, maybe you're in charge of putting together the corporate party this holiday season, well, you should be taking a look at X-Golf Inside American Family Field because it is an event space like and unlike any other. Again, as I said, it's inside American Family Field. Beautiful view of the stadium. You get to check it out. And they've got 7 state-of-the-art golf simulators. So maybe you're looking to play a little bit of golf. Maybe you're just looking to have a couple of competitions throughout whatever party you're throwing. Andy Barrett and the helpful team at X-Golf to put all those together for you. But maybe you're not a golf fan. Doesn't matter. It's that great of an event space anyway because they've got great menu items. They've got the full bar, even a second bar if the party happens to be big enough. 12 to 200 people, whatever you're looking for, X-Golf and American Family Field can help out. Find out more, X-Golf, AmFamField.com. Is this going to be the end of the opener experiment for the Brewers? I mean, Aaron Ashby just continues to throw. He didn't throw well last night. And look, I understand it doesn't matter because the Brewers scored one run. But I'm really curious that if the Brewers are as good of a team as we expect them to be next year, and who knows, maybe people will continue to sleep on them and their win total will be in the low 80s, and yet they're going to be a playoff team again. But I wonder if the way the opener experiment has just not really worked out and a lot of teams have had a success against the opener for the Brewers, if they just start to trust starters going forward. And some of it, Chew, I think is very specific this year where Miz kind of lost the plot and you didn't really know what he was going to be, and he's been fantastic in the postseason. I don't think anybody saw this coming from the Miz in the postseason. A Jose Quintana, who is expected to be kind of the long guy today, whether it's starting, whether it's relieving, putting up the bulk innings. He had an injury coming in. Obviously, we've talked about Brandon Woodruff and the injury that he had. So some of it, I think, is just specific to we don't know what we can get out of Miz. Quintana's probably not stretched out the way we want him to be. Who knows what we get with Priester as a young pitcher, his first time in the postseason. So I think that all factored in. But I wonder if going forward, Pat Murphy just goes, hey, even if they're young, I just have to trust him. I just have to put him in the position that they're comfortable with in starting games.
Well, I think it's easier now being down 3-0. But looking back, I guess, would you have just started the Miz yesterday and rolled with it and been like, okay,
I was advocating for just starting Quintana because he was the one who was told initially, like, tomorrow or yesterday was going to be his day. Obviously, today is now going to be the day for Quintana, but for whatever reason, they decided to switch it up and go with Ashby first and then Miz.
Let me ask you this, though, Gabe. Let's say they didn't score in the first inning.
Yeah.
Would he have rolled with Ashby in the second, or is he still just pitching one? Because I don't understand the reasoning behind just – if it's to face Ohtani at the start of the game, I get it. But would he have kept pitching? I don't understand why he just takes him out after one inning.
Because – he's in there for four batters is, I think, the explanation I think I can give you. If he would have gone 1-2-3, if Ashby would have started 1-2-3, he would have started the second inning to throw to Freddie Freeman. And then after that, then that's it. He's pitching through Freddie Freeman, and then you bring in the Miz. So if Freeman happens to bat in the first inning like he did yesterday, he got through Freddie Freeman, and then the Miz was coming in. I think that was always the plan for Ashby, to face Ohtani, eventually face Freeman, and then you go from there.
All right, and then let's say Miz doesn't give up that single and gets out of the inning. Was he done after that?
Probably.
Or would they let him go?
I think 5 2/3 would have been enough for Miz. I think they would have gone, hey, we got through six innings with two pitchers, with Ashby and Miz. Now we turn it over to the bullpen. I think inning would have been Miz's last, yes.
Even with Glass now, was he getting in a little trouble? They had someone up and throwing in the bullpen early.
Yeah.
Might have been even the first inning.
I think it was the second because the Brewers. Because the Brewers they went down in order in the first inning.
Yeah, I mean, what's your gut telling you about today? Who's gonna start?
I just don't know
Payne.
Who you can.
Payne.
Who? Payne's gonna start.
We're just gonna be Payne. It's gonna stink.
I think you just start Quintana.
At this point, why not?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Especially because
you've done it.
You've used Uribe so much, so I don't think you want to go, hey, let's open with McGill, and your high-leverage relievers are just, you don't have a lot of options on the back end in the high-leverage department with Uribe being used as much as he has been. You just go with Quintana, and you roll with him as long as you can.
The pitching, like you guys said, it hasn't been the problem.
No,
it's if you're giving up three runs to the Dodgers, that's beatable. That's beatable, but you got to hit.
And it should have only been two.
Yeah.
But you have to score. Yeah. Turns out you can't win. You can't win a series when you've scored three runs in three games. Just can't do it. It's not possible.
All right. So
unless you're winning every game 1-0, like your pitching has to be perfect.
You know how we love to throw the word choke around. Did the hitters choke?
I don't think so. It's just I can't explain why it happens in baseball. So is Ohtani choking right now?
I think yeah. When you're paid as much money as he is, you choke. That's choke.
I just don't know. But if you're paid as much as Andrew Vaughn is that choke?
No, that's what it is. Your A players need to play like A players. Your Bs, and your Cs play like Bs. Let me tell you what. What would you call Bowers and Durbin? C players?
C plus, B plus.
And they're playing like B players. Yeah. They're playing like B plus players. That's the problem. Yelich, Churio's been fine.
Churio's been good.
Give me another A player.
Terang.
Contreras.
Yeah, Contreras has struggled.
He's been okay, but he's struggling. Frelick.
Yeah, he led you in batting average. He's hitting 185 this postseason.
I mean, we talk about that in football all the time in order to get to where you want to get to.
I wish I had an explanation as to why the hitters look as lost as they do. And credit, some of the credit does go to the Dodgers pitching, but Glasnow was good yesterday, but he wasn't that good.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
Yeah, he wasn't that
looks
good.
Like, you know what? And he was like, he had his own issues. I mean, they didn't show it, but he drops a ball thrown right to him from the catcher. And then he has that stupid throw at second base.
Yeah.
That led to a run. And then they showed, who's the manager of the Dodgers?
Dave Roberts.
Dave Roberts just shaking his head like.
Yeah. Well, it almost,
what the hell, are you ready
almost
to play?
Led to a run because Bowers was on second. They throw it away. Okay. And then Ortiz grounds out to third. Muncy makes the unbelievable play and throws Bowers out at the plate.
But that's worthy of a coach going, are you ready to play?
Yeah.
You know, that's why I thought we might have had him.
Yeah, because that was all in the second
inning.
That was all in the second inning. Oh, he's going to be ready. Okay, and then settles in, just continues to go.
Yeah.
But I'm curious what the pitching plan is tonight. My guess is, obviously, Quintana is the long guy, whether he starts or not. The Brewers hesitating to name a starter once again makes me think that they're going to go with an opener because that's just what they've done.
What would you do? Would you roll with Priester?
No. I think you go roll with Quintana. It's Quintana's turn. Like, Priester needs another day. Priester's the guy tomorrow if you win today.
Okay.
And all right. I roll with Quintana. By the way, I would start Quintana. I would start Priester. I'd be done with the opener stuff. Hey, you guys have started all season long. I want to put you in a position where you're succeeding. We got to get back to who we are, and this is who we were during the regular season. That's what I would do. We'll see if that's what Murphy does later today. But we do have to get back to Packers as well because they have a game coming up against the Cardinals. That is coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I guess in the good news department for the Packers, it seems that even though we have debated a lot on this show, Chewy, about what they should be doing offensively, should they be featuring, should they not be featuring, should they just spread it out? I mean, the reality is Matt LaFleur is going to spread it out. It's all he continues to talk about. But it does seem like the drop issues that the Packers had, it's something that's been left in the past. That the Packers are just really doing well with the wide receivers. And again, it's early in the season, but the dropsies are something that is maybe no longer something we have to worry about. They finished with the second highest drop rate in the league, 6.9% last year. Clearly something that they wanted to improve. And through five games, they've only dropped three passes, and that is tied for third fewest in the NFL. So they went from one of the worst teams last year to one of the best teams in terms of drops this season.
Yeah, I read in an article somewhere, someone said they went back to the jugs machine where these receivers are catching a lot of balls, which I used every week. It's a great way to focus. There's ways you can simulate it running while catching from the jugs machine. And then we ended the day, it was a competition, I think it was with Mike Sherman, that he would have it at a certain speed. You would start probably 12 yards away, and whoever got the closest catching the ball won. And I mean, Gabe, we were 3 feet away.
Oh, jeez.
Still just catching the thing.
Just you know? Whistling them at you.
But it's just like, you know, it's like anything, Gabe. What do you do when you go play a round of golf? Striping a bunch of wedgies, right? To get ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. You know?
Well, so how would you use the jugs machine? Like, that's something that you did individually. You mentioned Sherman. So was that like after practice, something that you guys just did on your own and Sherman would help? Or is that was something that was emphasized during the course of
Part of it was Mike Sherman could not throw a football to save his life. Matter of fact, we fired him because he threw it like it was a pumpkin. There was no spiral. It was no.
Just
I'm
a knuckleball?
We actually fired him and said, Coach, you are not allowed to throw footballs anymore because he was that bad. So at the end of practice, And we love, because you get bored, but there's nothing like stupid little competitions like that during practice. And it got to the point where, you know, the guys that were playing tight end at the when I was there, we had fun with it. And it helped out, you know?
I mean, I think
go ahead.
But I think, again, I think that is a big part of the Packers trying to unlock the full potential of this offense is guys holding onto the football. And I got to imagine with, again, the way they like to spread out, and they have, in recent weeks, leaned more towards Dobbs and Golden, their snap count much higher than the other wide receivers. But I got to imagine it's tough for someone like Dontavian Wicks, who's playing less than 50% of the time, to, with that inconsistent playing time, to be able to go out there and still be able to catch. But it's something it seems like he has improved upon so far this season, and that's great for the Packers. But yeah, shocking that highly competitive NFL players had fun doing stupid little competitive things to try to get better.
Yeah,
that was like shocking from you.
Yeah. But, like, for instance, the quarterbacks, and we love doing it, too, because it's so fun. You know, the trash barrel.
Oh,
put it
yeah.
on the goal line, mm-hmm. they're on the 40, and see who could toss it in. Yeah. I mean, little stupid things like that. Coaches, because there gets to a point in the season where it's a grind, and you got to keep it fun, you know?
Oh, yeah. So
you got to keep it fun.
With receivers holding on to the ball, and I know this is something you mentioned earlier in the week with the Packers. Hey, they're a top 10 offense. To get where we think they can go, to get where they want to be, do they have to become a top 5 offense? Does that kind of solve some of the things we talked about in terms of having a killer instinct, taking advantage of certain situations? Because, again, the first half they've been great, but in the first half against the Bengals, they only scored 10 points despite having 265 yards of offense.
See, my questions now are more on the defense, because after the first two games, I'm like, this defense has got the potential to be top 5, where I don't think your offense needs to be top 5. And I'm not giving up on the defense, but they haven't really played great as of late. So right now, Gabe, I would say if the defense keeps trending the way it is, yeah, I think they got to be 5 or lower, which they can be because they're without two good players, man. Watson and Reed coming back will make a difference.
So the Packers are 8th in points, 9th in yards on offense, 10th in points, 5th in yards on defense.
So the defense actually, I mean, I know there's no more numbers that are involved, but yeah, they're
honestly,
Gabe, this
impressive.
Is it for me.
It's those impressive two numbers, to me, too, that you're 5th in yards and 31st in takeovers. They haven't taken the ball away, and yet they're still 5th in yards in the NFL, in yards allowed per game.
Yeah. They're one of the 10 teams that can win it all. And there's no top dog, you know? Because I think Tampa Bay is going to lose to Detroit because I don't think Abuka's playing. I don't know about Godwin, and Evans is out. And that's at Detroit. So my guess, and Detroit coming off of a disappointing loss to Kansas City. So there, like I said, man, there's 12 teams. And they all kind of have the same number of ping pong balls. You know, my ping pong ball with the lottery, where they all got the same amount of balls. It's just, that was funny.
you like saying the word balls. That's all you like.
It's just, you know, the context I put it in. Tickled big cat.
I asked you, we all answered this question after 2 weeks. And we asked, is this an offensive first team or a defensive first team? And after the first 2 weeks, it was obvious. It was defense.
Yeah.
Now that we're going into week 7, game number 6 for the Packers, is this an offensive first team or a defensive first team?
Offensive. Offensive. Because they kind of figured out how to defend Micah Parsons, right? They kind of, but it takes two guys to do it. So someone on that D-line, for whatever, it's got to beat man-to-man coverage. You don't have to beat them on every play, but you got to make a difference.
You got to win your one-on-ones.
Micah Parsons can only do so much. And let me tell you what they're doing to him ain't going to change. So
Because it's working. Why would you? Like other teams see what has worked against Micah. And he's the only one still consistently getting pressure somehow. But they see how it's working. Like, yeah, we can just leave one-on-one, Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness. Yeah, we'll keep on doing until somebody else proves that they can break through and do that. Yeah, we'll just continue to do that. That's what teams are going to do. Hey, guys, if you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. Maybe you have low energy, motivation, fatigue, you just feel tired all the time, weight gain or muscle loss, especially belly fat. Feel anxious, moody, irritable. Those are all symptoms of low testosterone, and Mentality Health can help you. A local healthcare facility specializing in helping men feel and perform at their very best. Mentality does that by focusing on free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors overlook, ensuring your treatment is tailored to your body. So what can happen if you start working with Mentality and their customized testosterone treatments? If you have low T, your energy comes back, belly fat burns off, muscle strengthens, and you feel like yourself again. I think that's the most important part. You feel like yourself again, confident, driven, and ready to tackle life. So be the best for yourself and for your family. It doesn't, just go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio. mentalityhealth.com/radio. Just set up an appointment. Go through the process. See if you're dealing with low testosterone. And if you are, you'll be amazed at how much better you feel after going through the testosterone treatment plan that Mentality can give you. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio. That's mentalityhealth.com/radio.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Ian Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. The Broncos Burma? The last 2 weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN. It started with a whisper.
You've heard me talk about Wanna Parlay before. And it is time to get into the action using my favorite daily fantasy sports app with the absolute largest payouts on parlays. I'm looking at Rashee Rice to have over 61.5 receiving yards. Kamani Vidal, over 74.5 rushing and receiving. The Dallas Cowboys money line and Tucker Kraft over 3.5 receptions. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Download Wanna Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years older to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
We've got a question on the Carpool's Talk and Text line that's really more specific for Joshy. Justin in Wisconsin Dells. Are we done with the week in read, Chew? Chewy being out, Brewers coverage. We haven't been doing it. One of my favorite segments of the week.
It is on hiatus while we are in the process here of reacting, previewing Brewers games, and the Packers also play. Just doesn't have a fit right now.
Josh, he's got a lot of stuff. He got a promotion, technically our boss. Now, you got a lot on your plate, Joshy.
Nobody's going to ever feel sorry for me in this position, so I'm not going to let that be. I just don't think it's the best for our audience. I understand there's people who are fans of it. It's not going away. It'll be back. There's just been a lot.
And look, this decision had to be made yesterday, whether or not we were going to do Rechew today.
Yes.
Because it takes Josh time to go back and grab the clips and come up with the questions. In retrospect, Josh, had we known that the Brewers would have been as depressing as they were, Rechew might have been a nice little pick-me-up today.
Yes. Yes.
Joshy, as the boss, why don't you delegate Will to do it? I mean, that guy shows up at like 10:30 for work.
Is it because Will choked and Chewy went 5 for 5 when Will was in charge?
No. Will has been working just as much. He's been on every stream with us. He was very helpful in getting our watch party live, which we'll be doing again today. So if you want to come laugh at us and revel in our misery, maybe yours too, feel free to. So... we're all going through it. It's basically
where is
we're
the
at.
Watch party?
It's more of a watch along, yeah. I guess.
It's just a phrase.
Oh, it's a
we've
virtual
been using.
Thing?
Yes, so it's all on YouTube. If you go to the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube, ESPN Madison YouTube, they also have it there. We were at Potawatomi last night, and we watched the game with you. We try and bring some levity to it, some humor. A little bit of analysis and then misery when things don't go our way.
Yeah, the numbers have been good.
Yeah, they've been doing great. I appreciate everyone watching. And there is a part of me that's like, hey, you guys are sickos for, because as soon as the Brewers lose, the numbers spike and people really enjoy it. So, yeah, that's just the nature of what we do here.
Who's who's going to be on tonight?
Right now, I believe it's me, you, Strofe, Will, and then anyone else who decides they want to take part.
All right. There we go. That'll start right around 7:30. Brewers play 7:38 tonight. Of course, listen to that over on 620 WTMJ. I've got Brewers pregame coverage from 6 to 7 on WTMJ as well if you want to check that out. But Wildy and Tausch, they take over for us right now. 94.5 ESPN.